Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Josh Heyer. Joseph Running Crane is a guitarist and bassist who grew up on the Blackfeet Reservation. Running Crane is a First People Fund fellow and joins us today in the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in Rapid City for a moment in sound. Joseph, welcome to In the Moment.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good. How's your morning been?
Oh, just fine. Kind of just started, really.
Nice. So I want to start out by asking, what does it mean to be a First People Fund fellow?
I got a fellowship in a program called Artist and Business Leadership, which basically First People's role in that particular fellowship is to provide financial and technical assistance to what they call emerging business leaders, native entrepreneurs who are in the arts, and so they kind of give them the leg up that they need to build a sustainable business practice, I suppose.
Sure. All right. Well, how about we jump right into it and hear some of that art?
Cool. Yeah, absolutely.
What do you got for us first?
This one's called Imi Da. Yeah. This one's called Imi Da. It's a Blackfeet word for dog. It's about a homeless guy who finds companionship in a street dog. It goes like this.
There is a dog that follows me around town, keeps me company when friends and work can't be found. Sure don't judge me for the shape that I'm in. Don't wear a collar and he smells like the wind. He defends me from weakness like no savior's done. Sleep in the day and at night we run. Snow falls quiet on Browning tonight. Streetlights send up red-hot pillars of light. They give off no warmth like the night that you died, when your only sin was just sleeping outside. And I hope that you're walking in good health and shoes. I hope death is the winning. It's living. What's to lose? His dog with no name, he eats what he finds. Drink from the well and the mid-shelf sometimes. He'll sit in front of me like he's waiting to play. His ears will twitch slightly if I mention your name. And I know it's just thinking, it's probably not true. But when I talk to him, it's like talking to you.
If you're just joining, that's Joseph Running Crane, and he's with us on A Moment in Sound. Joseph, you're quite the writer, and I actually want to ask how you go about the decision-making of what you're going to write a song about, kind of your writing process.
I mean, I suppose the ideas are kind of as pure as they can be once you decide to make a thought noteworthy, I suppose. It's hard to say. I mean, when I first started writing songs, they were a lot more confessional, very diary style songwriting, where you're just kind of putting it all out there, whatever you're feeling, in a very unadulterated way. And now as I get older and I kind of gaining a more nuanced appreciation for songwriting as a craft, and I tend to write from a more removed perspective, narratives that aren't necessarily my own, but ones that I can sympathize with. I guess would be the long and short way of putting that.
Sure. So I like that you said that, a removed perspective. When you find yourself in kind of a dry spell, is there a place you go to find some of those perspectives?
No, not really. I try not to chase them too much. Hmm. Tom Waits said that songwriting's a lot like fishing. You got to be quiet to catch the big ones. And that's kind of how I have to approach it. It just kind of has to like wander into your eye, and you have to, you know, kind of gingerly reach out for it. You can't really hold on to it too tightly. And I find that if I really go chasing after those sorts of moments, I really do tend to suffocate them.
Right. Who were some of your bigger inspirations, or what music, I guess, did you listen to when you were younger? Like favorite albums, bands, artists?
Well, I suppose when I was able to develop my own taste in music, it was a lot of harder edged, heavier stuff. So anything between like Slayer, Metallica, a lot of thrash stuff. And then I went into a long dark night with like, the style of like folkified indie rock that was really popular in the early aughts, and then came back around to the punk rock stuff. And that's how I taught myself how to play guitar, and that's how I taught myself songwriting. A lot of the early 80s hardcore stuff. And as I hit my 20s, I kind of got into, like I said, was more interested in songwriting as a craft. And kind of swung back around to the stuff that my dad exposed me to when I was younger. So Tom Petty, Johnny Cash, Hank Williams, a lot of John Cougar Mellencamp, that sort of thing, yeah.
And how do you make, what was that transition like in your musical, I guess, journey from that heavier stuff? Because my understanding is you actually used to play a little punk, is that correct?
Yeah, I played guitar and drums and vocals for a lot of punk and metal bands.
And how did you make those decisions on saying, you know, I'm going to keep this aspect, lose this, and now, because you're definitely, it doesn't feel as punky, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I might disagree with you on that one. I don't think that there's a huge difference between, you know, Johnny Cash and the Ramones. I think everyone who's worth their salt as a songwriter, they're trying to get to the point with the least amount of BS as they can get away with. And it's, you know, it's a trope when it comes to describing country, three chords in the truth. You don't hear that so much often to describe punk, but it's the same idea. Not letting technique hamper whatever ambitions you have as a creative expression is like the most key aspect of it. Basically, you don't need to know a lot about music to play it.
Right. I really like that. That's actually the Ramones and Johnny Cash tying together. That's a dang good point. Well, what are you going to play first next?
Boy, I haven't thought of that yet. I'm still kind of getting going a little bit. One moment here, sorry.
Oh, no worries.
Pull out my cheat sheet there. we'll do something else kind of topical, I suppose. I worked in a veterans bar for about 4 years in Missoula, Montana. And you get a lot of interesting stories that come through there. And so this next one's called Invisible Men. It's kind of a composite of some of the stories I heard working in there, as well as some of the stuff I saw growing up in Browning, Montana. If I get this guitar in tune, close enough. Here we go. Found a roof overhead under the Orange Street Bridge as I waited out the rain from a northern wind. And the moon and the lights made the street shine so white. Turned back into the city that I knew as a child. We'd pass through on our way back to our lake. And a beat up 57, just the old man and me. Now I've grown old and broken on these shining streets, where the streams of white faces don't seem to see me.
Now the cracks in the sidewalk as I walk to a park. Piece of ground to lay on before it gets dark. But I wake up each day in the morning freeze under the boot heels of the city police. Not long ago I was a young man at war, deployed in Vietnam with the USM Corps. Through shrapnel and napalm I fought without fear for the lives of the people who don't want me here. When my body made it back to the res in one piece, but my brain was twisted up with PTSD. Like photos tacked onto the lids of my eyes, blooms of orange fire, faraway skies. I never got better, no, the work never came. My name on waiting lists at the VA. But tonight, these streets, they've been kinder to me. So I spend a little more on that mid-shelf whiskey. History may laugh as it recounts the days of a drunk old Salish man full of terror and shame. I walk with my dignity, I walk with my pride to keep visibility neath the night's blooming lights.
If you're just joining us, that's Joseph Running Crane with A Moment in Sound. Joseph, that was awesome. You got me choking up over here, man.
Mission accomplished.
So you said earlier in this segment how you just let songs come to you. And this is, I would assume, an example of one where you were working in the VA and building some of those relationships. I guess, how did this happen, this song?
The VFW.
Oh, VFW.
Bar, I was bartending it.
Sure.
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Yeah, so like what, I guess a better way to put this is sometimes we'll have musicians on who will say they have a strum or a sound and then lyrics kind of get involved in it, or it can come, you know, vice versa, mm-hmm. right? They have some lyrics and then they build a song to it. Do you have is there a way it tends to go for you?
Gosh, I mean, like I really wish I had a good answer for you. I just don't. There really is no rhyme or reason to it. I mean, like, there's some days I'm just humming something, walking down the street, and then there's some days where, you know, you sit there playing the same thing over and over again. And to kind of allude to another songwriter, Tom Petty, he said, I always feel bad for people who have to live with musicians because it's always, you know, people think it's like this glamorous, sexy thing, being a songwriter, but really it's about 2 hours of this. They got to deal with that. So that's kind of like how a lot of my songwriting sounds, is just the same chord progression over and over again. And then he goes on to say, and then about an hour of playing that, then you get, we're the waiting is the... So that's kind of how I tend to do things as well.
Right. when you said you kind of try to not let the, I guess, like, if you're in a dry spell, you don't really go searching for it too hard, because that's when you kind of, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that's when you kind of find your songs, they feel like that you pushed it. Mm-hmm. So are you just comfortable in that dry spell if it does come and you just wait?
No. I'm never, never comfortable with it. No, songwriting is pretty painful thing for me. It's not fun for me to do. I really have to sit myself down to do it. And I did kind of level up. I mean, like a few years ago, I did start doing like a song a week, and that is a great way to get like inspiration flowing, but I'm just a lazy person by nature, so I just can't really get myself to get up and do it most of the time. No, to answer your question, I'm in constant emotional pain all the time.
So you have a new album coming out. How long, I guess, of the process did it take to get the songs together for this? And let's talk about a little bit about that new album.
It took me, well, some of these songs are pretty old. I think the first one was written in like 2015, the first three or four. And then it just was like this continual process up until last year, so about 3 years. I was writing for this record, and there's a couple covers on there as well. One was written by a good friend of mine, J. Daniel Kane, who plays bass for a honky-tonk band over in Pony, Montana. And then the last song on the record was a cover by, originally done by Daniel Johnston. And ironically enough, he passed away the day before this record came out. So that was pretty surreal.
Hmm. Talk to me a little bit about writing something like that, this Daniel Johnston song.
We recorded this. This was recorded by a fellow named Aaron Jennings over in Missoula. And so we recorded this record. We did the initial tracking last year in August. And just kind of on a whim, I was like, I think I'm going to put a cover on here. And he said, yeah, sounds good. And I'd been goofing around with that Daniel Johnston song for a while. And it's called True Love Will Find You in the End. So we had everything set up, and so we just tracked it right then and there by myself. And then we kind of hemmed and hawed about it over the course of a year, just like, oh, I think something could work better for that. And he's like, no. And so finally just made the executive decision. He said, we're going to keep it. And so I said, okay. And then we set the release date, which was September 12th, last week, or a week before, I think. So we set the release date. We got permission from Johnston's estate to cover it and release it on this record. And then I get into town early to set up for the release party and checked my phone. Daniel Johnston had passed away on September 11th, the day before this record came out, with a cover of a song on it.
Goodness. Well, I don't want to push you into a particular song. I really want to leave that up to you, but I want to make sure we at least get one more in here.
Yeah, absolutely.
What would you like to play for us?
We'll do one called Bowling Ball. It's based on my father, and he's been sober for over 30 years and gave it all up to support his family and make sure that his children grew up in a safe and clean environment. And I was pretty ungrateful about that for most of my life, and so this is both a song about him and an apology to him. It's called Bowling Ball. It goes like this.
Came into town, went to the one place he could go, to the outskirts of town, to the tribal casino. Dollar for dollars a night on the town, breaking even, leveling out. The one place where his name made no sound. Oh, the family that he left, still living in old Laurent. Obligations to his father, then back out again. Mm-hmm. home for a day or two, maybe more. Takes out the trash, a couple runs to the grocery store. 25 years old, the horizon is clear. Hopefully it takes him away from here, since every face he sees looks like a funhouse mirror. All drunken and disheveled, looking for a hole in government work. Failure feels a little different here, but it don't take away the hurt. I am you, you are me. Choices I've made just to keep you and your sisters free. You may stumble, or you may crawl. This hole in the world will roll like a bowling ball. You got love, got your friends, got the start, got the means to the end. You'll be back again, but I don't know how, and I sure don't know when. Green grass in the summer, frost on the field in the fall. Spring coming from the winter, and now don't mean that much at all.
Again, if you're just joining, that's Joseph Running Crane. Joseph, I want to get one more question in really quick. So before you played that last song, you talked about Johnson's death putting you in a lot of emotional pain. And through the songs that you've played, I've heard emotion with the veteran song. Is music for you a release, or does that pain, does it leave?
There are days where it does. I mean, it's always been a cathartic thing for me. I'm still trying to understand my relationship to songwriting and performance as well. Like, I think a lot of people are. I mean, like, if I really need to get something off my chest, then I'll go for a run. Or I'll clean the house, do laundry, do something. I'm not as compulsive a songwriter as like most, well, I shouldn't say most, but as other songwriters are. That's where a lot of the catharsis does come out, is in performance. Some days it's a job, you know? I mean, like, this is what I intend to do for a living for a while. And so there are some days where I'm just walking in and just kind of dialing it in, playing other people's songs for however long they need me to. That's where the release lies, is in the performance of it.
Yeah, I get that. Joseph, I want to thank you so much for being open with us today and taking time out of your day. The album is called Dog Winter. Where can listeners find it?
It's on all major streaming platforms. It can be purchased from my label's website, which is Listening Hat Records, and then from my Bandcamp page as well. And that's josephrunningcrane.bandcamp.com. Or I'm fairly certain I'm the only Joseph Running Crane in the world. So if you just Google Joseph Running Crane, it'll pull up everything that has my handle attached to it. So.
All right, awesome. Well, again, thank you so much, Joseph Running Crane, for taking the time out of your Friday.
I'll play in a Cave Collective tonight.